This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with ArtSpeak Radio every Wednesday, noon to 1 on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, we're listening to us online at kkfi.org. Lots of stuff happening in the studio today. We have Paul Tosh here and who's going to speak with us first off, and Brandon Draper, educator, musician. We also have Mason Andrew Kilpatrick and Madison May Parker in the studio to talk with us today. First of all, I do want to invite you all to the KKFI 30th exhibition, anniversary exhibition at Trap Gallery that opens this Friday at 525 Gillis at Trap Gallery in Columbus Park. You're going to see lots of photographs and original art, and a lot of DJs, past and present, will be there. We'll have refreshments, and my dear Mark Manning and my friend, my dear Valerie Andres, they helped sort of put the things in place, everything in place last night at the Trap Gallery. And of course, Dan Free, a big thank you to Dan Free, gallery owner. So that opens Friday, August 17th from 6 to 10. We'll be there. And I hope you are too. Live music, food, and art. What could go wrong? So I want to introduce our first guest. Paul Tosh has been a full-time faculty at UMKC since 2001, and after 16 years in academia, he still has his Tennessee accent. You'll see. Along with teaching a full range of graphic design and typography courses, he oversees the student graphic design group, Egghead, and is involved with the national and local chapters of AIGA, and he's a long-term member of the KC chapter of the American Ad Federation, the KC Freelance Exchange, the UCDA, and Society of Typographical Aficionados, and a recent member of the Kansas City Artists Coalition. His graphic design work and teaching focuses on branding design, print, marking communication design, typographic design, and traditional and digital illustration. Welcome, my friend, Paul Tosh.
Hello, and thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're just waving. You can speak, too,
Paul Tosh. I know. This is radio.
Paul Tosh and I have been friends for a long time. I think I did meet you at UMKC when I had some work there through, through the Gallery of Art.
Yeah, and then you, I think you worked with a class or two.
We did some
adjunct work.
Yeah.
So it's almost from the beginning. So that's been 16 years almost.
And I haven't aged in a year, thank you. So.
Oh, I'm supposed to say something. You are just like fine wine.
I love that. You know, I think we met through Agapito Mendoza, who was really. He was really instrumental in so many changes there on campus, and we met through him, and I had the work up, and that's been a while ago. So I'm so happy that you're finally here to talk about your work, your professional design illustration work. You also do a lot of the typography and then the print studio at the Hobbs Building, right?
So yeah, that's correct.
You tell me where you want to begin.
Oh, my gosh. Well, as I said, I'm a full-time faculty, have mm-hmm. been since 2001 at UMKC, tenured.
Yay. So you're the king of the department.
At least the court jester.
I like that.
But been there, and I think some of the things I'm really proud of as far as UMKC is the education standpoint, which is not just the teaching, but also trying to work with the community some on education. And the fact that we also we have a student design agency called Egghead. And that's mm-hmm. a long story, and I won't get out. The students did name that. That was not my fault.
But I think it's important to have that student graphic design group. I think, you know, it kind of gives you that real-life experience as a student and as a budding professional.
Absolutely. And we actually, several years ago, did work with KKFI and did a marketing campaign and had some billboards up and ads that were pretty successful. So, And then, of course, we tried to do educational things with the community. You know, we had the gallery and we have shows. In fact, we have a show which I'm excited about, which is called Type Hike, which is illustrators and designers from all over the country who design posters for the different national parks.
Now, is that up currently?
Now, that will be up in November 1st. And we're real excited about that. I'm excited about it. I don't know if anybody else cares.
Yeah, but Paul, let's talk about that, because the national parks design posters. Is that what you're saying?
And the deal is the group, they've actually gone beyond that.
Okay.
And they've done it on endangered species. They've done a series of posters on endangered species. It's both geared to educating the public, both on our on design and typography, but also for be something that promotes issues that there's concern about. And it's was not done in tandem conjunction with the Park Service. This was done a separate group, a nonprofit group of designers. But it's got a lot of national attention.
Wow.
They will give us sell us the posters very cheaply to do a show, and they're wonderful. We'll have them there. We'll own them once it did. We might raffle them off. Who knows? But it's really, really a beautiful, beautiful work.
I love that, and so I should invite you back in November to remind us of that, because you know, the National Park is a terrific organization, a great service, but you know, it is an honor, isn't it?
I would have been very honored, and I'm jealous that I would. Of course, I'm nobody in the national scheme of things in design, but very renowned, well-known designers contribute to
very
it,
cool.
And just the fact of what it is, you know, it's just an honor to be able to have the show here. And one of the founders of the group, of the Type Hike organization, will be doing a talk. And I don't have that date exactly yet, and I'll get that information. But I'm excited about it because this is something that both from a standpoint from design and typography, which I'm big about, and from the standpoint of what it is, I just think it's just a beautiful combining of the two.
Well, I've always been crazy about typography as a design element, a design tool. You know, let me ask you just a little bit more about the UMKC Student Gallery. Is there, on the website, is there a list of upcoming exhibitions, or is it just kind of, you know, as you know,
well,
when you know it?
We usually plan up to a year in advance. Davin Watney is our you know Davin.
Yeah.
He's our gallery manager. He's also a non-tenured track faculty at UMKC.
We got to get him on the show, too.
You need to get Davin on. For some reason, I thought he'd been on. But anyhow, he is the gallery manager. Does a wonderful job of staying on top of things, planning it ahead. He schedules things. Mm-hmm. We have grad students and work study students who help put the show up, and he does a whole lot of work, extremely hands on. But this is where I'm a bad boy, and I don't have the web's address, but the Department of Art and Art History website, we always had the calendar on there.
Okay.
And you can go online to the UMKC and find the gallery website, and it'll have the complete listing of events. And we post it on the website within a couple shows ahead of time,
the
oncoming shows. So we have some really good, we have student shows, we have
I've seen several
people.
Really good shows there.
There's it's really some good work, and we've done a lot working constantly on upgrading the gallery. We've got cork floors now and all the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Very cool. Well, and aside from that, I want to also mention that Paul Tosh stays very active in the art world, not only as an educator, but the Fletcher exhibit in 2015-2016 was a social and politically engaged art at the Reese Museum at East Tennessee St. Tennessee State University that you were involved in, and also the UMKC faculty show Arterial Echoes. So not only are you an educator and a designer and all that, you stay very active in exhibiting your work, right?
And not as much as I would like and should. I do client work, but I'm really interested in going. I do some guerrilla art, which I'm not really going to talk about. it is out there.
Just write it down.
I'm really big in with that. You know, mm-hmm. Huge Banksy aficionado and some of the other street artists and stuff. I am currently teaching myself how to do screen printing, screen print posters. I have done a lot of music posters in the past.
You have, yeah.
Trying to get back into doing art and doing that kind of art, but also that it can be commercially viable, but right. At the same time, I don't really do it just for that. I do it for me.
Right.
I'm currently doing all the 50 states, poster design for all 50 states, and they're not your normal nice little touristy kitsch thing, but things that aren't necessarily nice, pretty, but they're cool.
are you doing that work at the studio in the Hobbs building?
Both.
Tell us about that print shop down there.
Kansas City Center for Ink and Paper Arts. Oh, gosh. Calvert. Calvert's going to kill me. I've done Calvert for years. Calvert Guthrie.
Okay.
Formerly with... Hallmark, a wonderful calligrapher. We have, it's originally set up to be a community print shop, and mm-hmm. we're still wanting to get back to that where people, mm-hmm. you can do memberships, you can mm-hmm. come down. We have letter presses. I actually own a Vandercook letter press. If you're a member, you can come down, you can do lessons, and you can use mm-hmm. the equipment, have access to type. I've got a screen print set up, which I'm teaching myself. We have mm-hmm. some block printing. And
it's a terrific facility.
It's a cool facility. Yeah. It's like in a dungeon.
Yeah. It's been there for a number of years, but I remember doing some work there with you and also Brett Chenoweth.
Yes.
We were doing some solar prints, printmaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do want to ask you, I've done some letterpress, which I really love letterpress, you know, and I think it's sort of had a renaissance. But is there a way, and this is, forgive my ignorance, is there a way that you can do letterpress but digitally?
Yes.
Ah, thank you.
Glad you asked.
Yeah, because it's
That's
really...
actually a great question, and mm-hmm. it's interesting because... some of the work I've been doing currently uh-huh. with the letterpress is, you know, do your work digitally,
yeah.
create film negatives, you get a polymer plate made,
mm-hmm.
had the plate, you mount it on a little block, and you put it on letterpress. And it's raised just like any kind of letterpress, so you don't have to go through all the cutting linoleum or cutting wood, which I do still do some of that too. But and you can combine it with the current type, or you mm-hmm. can use type that you do digitally. But yes, so you get the benefits of a letterpress. You get the coolness, you know, the color. You can get the impression of it. Like a lot, that's a huge thing that people like with letterpress. You get the emboss or deboss effect. But you can do the digital. Yes.
But what I love about letterpress, and you know, I'm so resistant with digital graphic, kind of that sort of thing. But what I like about letterpress, I mean, you really have to pay attention. You really have to be smart, read letters backwards, put spacers in. And I love that about it. It's very tedious, you know, but it's still, I love it, you know, because it's very tactile versus... digital, but you know, if you get
well,
the same sort of...
I'm a little bit of a Luddite. A lot of a Luddite. I was dragged into the digital realm kicking and screaming. But yeah, it's really I love the tassel thing. I love the actually getting ink on your hands and have to clean things up, but setting it up to work. So it's very cool. It's letterpress. There's it's a big deal, you know. Skylab, Hammer Press, they do things. They're pretty well known in the area, and they've really done a lot to resurrect it. We try to make it more accessible to people who are interested in it. We do classes. I don't have any kind of setup on that. We kind of do it as demand. You're welcome to contact me. And
how do they get a hold of you?
Very carefully. You can get, probably best way, just to my school address, okay. toshp@umkc.edu would be a good way to get in touch. We have one email address, and I don't have a clue what it is down there.
But letterpress lends itself so beautifully to typography design. I love it because, you know, the letters can be very small, and you know, so many different fonts are available to very, very large, you know, letters. I'm very fortunate that I have a friend who has letterpress in his basement, and so whenever I need business cards or whatever, he says, "Oh, come on over." And it's really nice because he's very patient with me because it's really a difficult but fun art to
it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
Because you have to, it's something you have to be kind of interested in.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, the computer, everything makes things easy. You have to, I think if you're really interested in type and that kind of thing, letterpress is cool because you have to really pay attention to it. Everything that's intricate and hard or about typography is part of letterpress.
We're like two junkies, euphoric recall, talking about letterpress. Oh man, the ink. You know, it's very cool. Well, so what else is coming up for Paul Tosh other than the school year?
Well,
when do you begin?
One of the things I didn't have on my bio, I am a member of the Prairie Village Arts Council.
Yes, yes, you
which
mentioned
is,
that in the green
pretty
room.
Cool. One of the huge things we do, we have the gallery at the City Hall, and we do a monthly show, and I get to help do all the grunt work. And, of course, being a graphic designer, they immediately said, you get to do all the design work for this stuff, and which is fine by me, but also we get to curate shows. Mm-hmm. We have shows coming up. Anybody through Cafe. We have set up a Cafe, which is the online application for shows. You can go on and you can submit your work and submit to have us shows. We have individual shows, usually three artists, so it's a small group show, but open to anybody. We also have juried shows. We have a senior art show coming up. We have a general art show coming up that's juried. And all of these can be, you can go, again, being the idiot that I am, you know, I qualify for that. I didn't bring all that information with me, but the Prairie Village, you can look up the Art Council and find that information.
So Prairie Village Art Council.
Yes.
Just Google
and
that.
We're on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook. Yeah. And all that information is on there. So it's really, really just an excellent thing, a very driven bunch of people. I'm amazed. They're really into promoting arts. We're working on really pushing the public arts part of for Prairie Village more and more. So really excited that they invited me to be a part of it. And it's one of those cool things. Other than that, kind of somewhere between winding down my teaching career, but still got a few years left, but on the end of it, but looking at maybe reestablishing my commercial work, but really interested in the letterpress and the my screen printing part, and you know, as far as an artist, I'm also I've got a couple submissions out for some mural work. I'm trying to get some of that going. I do some of the street art, girl art. I don't talk about much because it's one of the things I can do stuff that I wouldn't normally want to talk about.
Well, write it down and I'll read it later after you leave the building, and then no one can find you. What do you think about that, Paul? Prairie Village Art Group?
Prairie Village Art Council.
Okay.
Really, really. Yeah,
because what I'll do
get
is
the information to you.
Well, and I'll post it on ArtSpeak Radio. But you know, I want to thank you for all the work that you do in the community and as an educator, and thank you for the work with KKFI, because you know we're all about community here, and we appreciate everyone's you know, support of this little radio station. So thank
you,
Paul.
Well, I love
Tosh.
It. Listen to y'all, and I even donate money occasionally.
I love it. Look, he's handed me over $1,000 just as we speak. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that would be great. No, but you know, we love you, Paul Tosh. You come back and talk about the posters at UMKC Art Gallery.
Yeah,
in
the
November.
Type bike.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's do that. And in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you, Paul Tosh. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Brandon Draper. And, you know, I got a little song just for you. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for tuning in every Wednesday noon to 1 or listening to us online at kkfi.org. My next guest is one of my favorite people. I haven't had him here in a while. Brandon, did you know you were one of my favorite people?
Okay.
Good answer.
Thank
you. Brandon Draper is a graduate of Smoky Valley High School and Bethany College. He's enjoyed a celebrated career as drummer, percussionist, producer, multi-instrumentalist, and educator. Now, in addition to freelancing and teaching, he currently performs as a solo artist, multi-instrumentalist, and he's with the Turkish jazz group Alaturka. Draper recorded, co-mixed, and performed on the 2013 release Yalnız. Yeah, and that was given 4.5 stars, Best Albums of 2013, Downbeat Magazine. Congratulations for that. Brandon plays guitar with his father, a renowned Hammond B3 organist. I love B3s, man.
Yeah.
And the Draper Family Band. And he runs the acclaimed children's interactive music drum program, Drum Safari, with his wife of 14 years. Taryn?
Yeah, and it's actually 17 years
now.
It's an old bio.
Oh, we love you, yeah. Brandon. So welcome, and thank you for coming
on
the show. I think we met several years ago, just like Paul, but you were an educator, and I think you brought your students into the Guadalupe Center when we had an opening of a program there,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was really cool, and you've been doing stuff for a long time now, haven't
mm-hmm.
you? Terrific.
Yeah, that was with Kansas City Academy.
Okay.
I was on faculty there for a little while, and we brought a world percussion ensemble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And currently you're on the faculty, the music faculty at the University of Kansas.
That's true. Yeah.
Of course, I have to look at you because I make things up all the time.
Yeah, right.
They
right.
also don't know if everything's current and all that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's terrific. How long have you been on the faculty?
It's, what is it, 8 now? So 9 years
yeah,
I've been
yeah.
there and just slowly gaining more more things to do. I started just teaching jazz drum set,
uh-huh.
and I had previous taught at UMKC. When I first moved here, Bobby Watson hired me at UMKC to teach jazz
uh-huh.
drums, and then at KU, now it's grown into, I'm the director of the music business certificate. It's called a music enterprise. So I teach outreach, entrepreneurship, music business.
That's
101.
Awesome.
And we have a steel band now, so Caribbean music, and that's just taking off, I think.
Well, and I love that it's, you know, a musical outreach, because I think you know, you can reach so many more people with that and get them engaged and pulled into the world of music.
Yeah.
So, and you also do that with your Drum Safari. Let's talk about Drum Safari.
Okay, Drum Safari is, it's a great name. My wife and I still just pinch ourselves how we came up with that.
Uh-huh.
It's we own the trademark for Drum Safari in North America now, so we liked it that much
uh-huh.
That we invested in owning that. We started about 15 years ago or so, the idea developed when we were living in the mountains outside of Santa Fe in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
We were situated right between the Sandia Mountains and the mm-hmm. Sangre de Cristo Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we started doing drum circle facilitation and community drumming events at the Vista Grande Community Center. It was an unpaid outreach. We just mm-hmm. thought, hey, these kids that are coming in after school, let's see what happens. Let's see how this works. And that developed into some more ideas. We moved to Kansas City. We met the acclaimed children's performer and music therapist, Barry Bernstein, a.k.a. Bongo Barry, who had done quite a bit of research over the years in California and in the Midwest for Alzheimer's patients. He was connected with the Grateful Dead through Mickey Hart, and he was just kind of a beacon of joy and drumming and community. And so he became kind of our mentor. He passed away in 2009, and so in 2010, we decided to take it seriously and start the program. So what Drum Safari is we bring a trailer with over 400 or 500 instruments, drums, shakers, jingles, all different kinds of instruments. We teach kids through mnemonic device. We go on a safari where we find animals. Those animals have rhythms. We learn the rhythms. And the different animals also have different stories. So, for instance, for crocodile, the crocodile rhythm is croc-a-dile, snap, snap. Now, how I teach the kids is I say, we start off with, okay, now this next animal is a reptile, but this one is from Cuba. It has relatives in Africa and in Florida, but this is the Cuban, and we show them the picture, and they yell, alligator, and I'm like, no, it's the crocodile. It's a little bit different. It's a little smaller. Now, the Cuban crocodile is endangered. What does it mean if an animal is endangered? And the kids say, there aren't very many left. And I said, that's right. That means we have to talk about it. Anything that is in danger, we need to talk about. So if I have a friend that's getting picked on, I need to tell an adult. And you know what? I have friends all over the world, and sometimes I have friends in parts of the world where they're in trouble. There's dangerous things happening, and we need to talk about it. So we're sharing this with kids right away that diversity and cultural inclusion go hand in hand, and we need to talk about it. It's how we understand each other. And then another animal, the zebra, my daughter Eva made that rhythm up when she was 2 years old. And so what I tell them is, you know, that taught us a lesson. When Eva was singing that rhythm, I realized her rhythm was better than mine. My zebra rhythm was not that good. Eva's rhythm was better. So kids, that means we should listen to everyone's ideas. Let's listen to each other. We can better understand each other. So we're teaching, you know, cultural diversity, awareness, inclusion. We're trying to bring this, you know, from the core. And the first rhythm, one of the first rhythms we teach when we teach the instruments is the heartbeat rhythm. So the Dunumba, the African, West African bass drums, we they're called Dunun. We're just going to use the simple name, Dunun. Can you kids say it with me, guys? Dunun. Dunun. And the drums playing along. And I say, what's that rhythm? And they say, it's a heartbeat. Yeah. How many of you have a heartbeat? Ah, we all have a heartbeat. And I'm like, that's right. We all started our lives with a heartbeat. Every single human being in the entire earth started with a heartbeat. And we might look different on the outside. We might have different ideas on the inside. But right there, it's the exact same thing. So that's kind of in a nutshell what happens.
See,
so we start with all of that talking and getting them going and demonstrating the instruments. Then the second half of the 45-minute program, we give all of the children instruments. And instead of saying, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit, we instead of saying that, we say, let's share. We're going to share. We're going to play this drum for a minute, and then we're going to do a trade. So they're learning to share and listen and play. And then when we're jamming and we're just jamming, I'll remind them, look at your neighbor. Listen to your neighbor. Smile if you like what you're doing, if you like what they're doing, you know. And then then we have a dance party with the drums at the end. And I also use...
I want to be a part of this.
I brought a couple instruments. This is one way that I show that. I teach the different tambourines. So the tambourine that is from 6000 BC called a rick is a tambourine that was found in cave drawings. And they, at that time, it were the women that were the primary musicians. And this is great for young girls to to hear this story. And, and now also imagine when my group is with Drum Safari, we have four different groups that travel throughout the U.S., but when my family is on stage, it's Brandon and three ladies. You know, it's my wife, who is also a percussionist, and our two daughters. So the women were playing the rick, which you don't just shake, you play like this. You're shaking the tambourine, you're clicking it, and that's how it sounded in its ancient form. And then you go over to Brazil, it's still a tambourine, but now it sounds like this. Then you go to India, it's made a little bit different. It's called a kanjira, and it sounds like this. And then in India, we can use syllables with our voice to learn rhythms. So I have him repeat after me. You want to do this? This will be really fun. Repeat after me. Ta.
Ta.
Taka.
Taka.
Takita.
Takita.
Takadimi.
Takadimi.
Takadimi takita.
Takadimi takita.
Now, takadimi takita, takadimi takita, takadimi. And then the kids start going along. Exactly. Now, we're in seven. We're in seven beats, which is kind of a difficult thing for adult musicians. And I can get a room full of 400 kids doing that because there's no boundaries.
Can we bring them in, too?
Yeah, you guys want to
try
it?
Guys, come on. Come on, it'd be fun. Oh, come on. Either that or you can't be on the program. You got to play. You got to play along.
So we're just going to use our voice. So just repeat after. We'll do a different one. Let's do takita.
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 Taka.
Taka.
Taki. Now just look at me. Don't think about anything else. Takita. Taka. Takita. Taka. Takita. Taka. Takita. Taka. Now don't stop. Don't stop. Takita.
Taka. Takita. Taka. Takita. Taka.
Takita. Taka. Takita. Taka. Yeah, beautiful.
Yay!
Yeah,
thank
nice
you.
Job, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So it's about being present. It's about being in the moment. It's about we're here right now. You have rhythm inside your body. We're all connected. You know, that's really what Drum Safari is about.
Well, and I think it's not just the percussion that you're talking about. It's the other stories of being human too that connects us. Brandon, right?
That's deeper.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, the television is barely, not even 100 years old. Mm-hmm. And for thousands of years, human beings used music and dance as a form of entertainment in the evening. So, you know, we're in a time and place in our world where folks are getting so stuck to their devices, their phones, and television and news. And,
I hear
you. People want to say fake news, whatever. Like all the different things that distract us. We're trying to find those moments. And so as a rule, we don't take very many photos, if any, during Drum Safari shows. Mm-hmm. We ask the parents, tag us on Facebook, Instagram, at Drum Safari. But we want to be present with your kids, so we're not taking photos.
And I get that. I love that. Share with us some of your websites that people can find more information out. Or you're also, you can book through your websites too, right?
Sure. Drumsafari.org. So drumsafari, drumsafari.org. And then on all social media platforms, it's at drumsafari. And that's about 60%, maybe 60% of what we do through our production company. I also perform with a variety of different groups that my wife helps manage. Drum Safari in general, we just finished last week 11 weeks. We left the day after Memorial Day. We did more.
All your tour dates.
A celebration at the station. We performed there, and then the next day we left, and we were gone for 11 weeks all over the U.S.
This is terrific.
And then we're home now for a couple weeks, and then we go back to Boulder for a festival.
The Grapes and Grass Festival, that's Boulder, Colorado, the 25th of this month. But what a great, what a great life. I mean, to be able to teach people, play music, really sort of...
It's a weird thing. When I was performing with rock bands and I was doing all these big festivals and stages, when I left that world my heart was breaking being away from my daughters and my wife. So when I left that life and I came home, I had the thought of like, am I going to miss this? Am I going to feel like, oh, well, I almost made it. Am I going to feel like that? Well, the truth is I did make it. I made it many years ago. It's my own perception of what, contentment and success is. And then... the bottom line, performing with children, there's never a bad show. There's never a bad, and there you the connection you get. I mean, I've played in front of 20,000 people, and there's like 50 yards between the stage and the fans, and there's that's a hard thing to be in, So,
but see, what you're bringing is the gift of music, the gift of the joy that it brings. You know, when you make music, I want to join you. I mean,
the parents want to jam. I mean, we get a lot of adults sometimes without. They'll just hear what's going on in the venue that we're performing. And they'll come in and it's like, is it okay? I don't have a kid with me. Well, yeah. It's like anyone age 1 to 150. Come on in.
So we've got Draper's, or I'm sorry.
Oh, my regular website is Draperama, Draperama. And I have some local things coming up as well. There's quite a few. I just booked one in the past 20 minutes waiting to go on the air that I probably can't announce yet because I don't know if it's – but I will be performing a really beautiful secret show in November that I'll do my solo live looping world music thing where I play all the instruments.
You need to invite me. Will that be on Facebook then?
Oh, yeah. It'll all be out there. Okay. I'm a little dismayed that Crossroads Music Fest is September 8th, which is the same day the Draper Family Band, which is the blues band with my father, we're playing a motorcycle rally event for the First Hand Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of Cerner. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be in Kearney, Missouri, at a bar and grill, like a
damn
blues
you,
thing.
Bill Sundahl. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to go have lunch with him, and we just got to get our calendars aligned for the next 5 years so we don't screw up.
Yeah, very good. Brandon Draper, thank you so very much for coming
on.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we're going to have you back and maybe bring your family
When we perform and tour with our children all the time, we let them decide often. Like my daughter Eva performs and she raps and she sings and Ivy does some of that too. And this morning I asked, I said, do you want to go on the radio with me? And she's like, no, I want to go to the zoo. We want to go to the Touch the Stingray thing or whatever. So she decided for the zoo, and that's cool because she's a kid, right?
Well, she hasn't met me, obviously. We love you, Brandon Draper.
Thank you so much.
Hey,
we love you too.
I got a song for you. So we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And we're back. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Our next guests are Mason Andrew Kilpatrick, who's the Marketing and Communications Manager of Charlotte Street Foundation. Also with him is Madison May Parker. Welcome, Madison May.
Hey.
Is this your first time on the air?
It is.
Yay. No cussing.
I'll try to hold myself.
But, you know, Mason's here because he wants to announce the opening of a new performing arts venue at 1664 Broadway Boulevard and some other stuff. So hit it.
Yeah, no, of course. So Charlotte Street Foundation, which we've been on previous programs before, we're really excited to talk about this new opportunity specifically for performing artists within Kansas City. For the past 20 years, we've done a lot for performing artists, but it's never been as much as what we've done for visual artists, and especially in terms of a dedicated physical space. Mm-hmm. So now, we started last week, and we're going to continue to have soft opening events throughout 2018, but we have a new venue called Capsule, which is specifically for performing artists in Kansas City. So all the events that will take place there will all range from poetry, experimental dance and music, theater, spoken word, and more. We're really excited about this opportunity, and in August, we decided to open up to our current studio residents and have them kind of showcase their talents in this new space, which is why Madison May Parker is here to talk about Glitter Trash.
Well, but before that, I just want to ask you, will La Esquina go away then, or is that still going to be a performing space?
No, La Esquina Gallery will still be present, but its focus will become more back on the visual arts side. So it's been, because it is a gallery space, and for the past few years, it's been like a hybrid for both.
Yeah, it has.
But now it'll cater more mostly towards visual arts, and Capsule will now be the home for our performing arts.
Okay. And that makes sense, because there's the acoustics in there for performances were pretty high.
And you could tell that there were challenges for performing artists sometimes with the space. So it's nice to have something entirely different for them. And Capsule even has two different kinds of performance rooms within the venue. One for smaller, more intimate settings, depending on what you want to do, and one for larger crowds and theatrical performances. So there's a lot of malleability as an artist in terms of how you can utilize the space.
So I'm very excited to talk about Glitter Trash. That's going to take place Thursday, August 16th at 7:30. Madison May Parker, Mariah Linnae Booth, an evening of poetry, movement, fabric, and glitter. We love it already. And you're all glittery right now.
Yes, we've been rehearsing, so I'm already covered in glitter.
We love that. So tell us what will the evening be like?
Yeah, so I come from a background of poetry and writing and started performing in 2013, and Mariah's background's more from theater. So we've kind of taken our two backgrounds and basically created a hour-long poetry theater production. And a lot of the set is even inspired from poems that we've written. And so it's kind of a physical poem that people get to enter into in the space.
We love that. And that's going to be in the new capsule?
Yes, tomorrow night. We're super excited for it. We're loading into the venue later today.
So, and again, that starts at 7:30?
7:30.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exciting.
It is. It is. Yeah. This is our second collaboration between Mariah and myself. So we were excited to get to do a whole new project together.
So in that space at 16th and Broadway, kind of give us a snapshot of where it is.
Yeah, so if you are familiar with where Los Tules is, it's literally just down the hill, mm-hmm. South of
right
that.
On the
so
corner
we're
of...
right next to it. Okay. Yeah, yeah, right on the yeah. corner. Big brick building. We don't have any signage of it yet, so it's okay. a little inconspicuous, which you know, we kind of like at first for some of the soft yeah. openings kind of stuff. Yeah. But
it has like the Charlotte Street C, you know, that okay. logo okay. on the window.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
You can see that.
And I know parking is at a premium down there because, you know, there's so much, you know, especially with the Kaufman and everything else going on.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of parking?
We do. So there's that? Actually parking behind the building. So when you cross actually on 16th, there's plenty of street parking behind that and on Washington Street. But there's also a little L-shaped lot outside of like this yellow taped off area mm-hmm. for people and patrons who want to go to this to have free parking, which is really nice and crucial in the area.
Well, this is cool. This is pretty exciting for the creative community, the capsule. Yeah. So it serves as a platform to highlight emerging experimental and hybrid performance practices. And are you all filled up for the calendar year?
For the rest of 2018, we do have a list of soft openings, but we're actually going to be releasing an open call soon within the month for the next program year of 2019 for artists to take advantage of it. Because we know there's a huge hole in Kansas City in terms of performing arts venues that has space that's malleable enough for people to kind mm-hmm. of do experimental or grand ideas. So being able to see people like Madison and May Parker kind of test run the space and kind yeah. of show off its ability would be really cool and give ideas for the open call.
And get some glitter down in your hair or something. Yeah.
And we can see how, want some of that.
And we can see how easy the cleanup is afterwards as well.
Yes. So I have promised Pat that we will have a hopefully spotless venue afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And then you've got some other performances. Sunday, August 19th, you've got Danielle Henneberg and Carla
Aaron Toll.
But you know, for more information about the whole lineup for people who don't have a pen handy or are driving, charlottestreet.org is the website and give you more information about that. But it sounds like you are pretty well full for the month of August.
We do. A majority of performances will take place on Thursday later in the evenings and then Sunday early evenings. So if you miss this performance specifically with Madison May Parker, mm-hmm. There's going to be a slew of other performances that range from experimental electronic, jazz, and even spoken word. So, and we are a nonprofit for these artists, and these events are free.
Mm-hmm. And are they family friendly?
Yeah, they are family friendly. I mean, in terms of content, is glitter trash kind of family friendly in terms of what's...
There will be some cursing, yeah. but as far as anything, I would say probably PG-13 was what you would say.
Yeah.
But I think the show would be especially good, I think even for like young teenage women especially.
Yeah.
So essentially, Capsule will begin its programming this month, and it showcases the 2018 Studio Residency Performing Artists Series through this entire month.
Yeah.
They're all... listed on the website, charlottestreet.org.
Yeah. And you can follow us on Twitter, at Charlotte Street.
Sweet.
There's a combination of tweet and street. Instagram, Charlotte Street Foundation. No, you can also follow us in our listings on Facebook as well. So.
Yeah, and, you know, this is really cool that I you know, the Studio Residency Program, if you're not aware, it's entering its 15th year.
Yeah, it's getting up there in terms of age, and we really like that, too, because every year we're getting a fresh crop of 30 different residents to come and contribute. Madison is, of course, coming back within this next term, which actually starts in September, so we're actually going to have some programming for the next crop of residents coming up, too.
Because you've got some outgoing and some incoming, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the outgoing folks,
they have a
performance?
Yeah. So a lot of the outgoing artists actually already had their visual exhibition earlier in July, and a lot of the outgoing musicians and performing artists, this is their time to utilize here. So
I'm like, no, no pound on that. I can hear.
Yeah.
But we love you, Mason Andrew Kilpatrick, because you bring such good energy to the studio and to the station and through Short Street Foundation. And then I know that you work closely with KKFI. So
thank you
for the service that you provide.
Of course.
But this is huge. So once this soft opening is finished, there will be a call for artists and performers and all that. Mm-hmm. And that would be on your website.
Yep.
Any guidelines that we should know about, or is it sort of anything goes?
It's sort of kind of anything goes as of right now. We haven't necessarily come up with the requirements for that yet.
Okay.
The only requirement is that you do have a performance-based project of some sort.
And do you have to be Kansas City-based or in the metropolitan area?
Okay. No, it's actually open for national artists as well.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's good to know. So if you just tuned in, I am talking to Mason Andrew Kilpatrick, Madison May Parker, both with Charlotte Street Foundation, and we're talking about the soft opening of the Capsule, which is at 1664 Broadway Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I think that's really exciting. You know, you've got sort of a trifecta of arts happening in just that area.
No, for sure. And it's such a diverse collection of programming as well, because you wouldn't see anything like Glitter Trash at the Kaufman, you know?
Yeah.
And having and being able to like kind of cross the street from that and seeing something so unique, DIY and artist driven would be really cool.
And I want to mention that that's tomorrow, Thursday, August 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the Capsule, 1664 Broadway Boulevard. And that's going to be Madison May Parker, Mariah
Lene
Booth for Glitter Trash. It's an evening of poetry, movement, fabric, and glitter as we question what beauty is, what is femininity, and how do we survive in this world wielding both. That sounds very exciting. I'll be there.
Oh, yes, we'll be so excited to see you there.
Sounds like a heavy topic, but a very fun way to address it.
Yeah, yeah. We're hoping it'll be a fun night. We've tried to write in some jokes to kind of alleviate some of the heaviness, so it'll be a fun night.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on air and sharing with us this information. Mason Andrew Kilpatrick with Charlotte Street Foundation, the Marketing and Communications Manager, and does work with our station, KKFI, and artist, performer, Madison May Parker. Thank you so much. Come back.
Yes,
you promise?
Thanks for having us on.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
You bet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to thank my other guests, Paul Tosh, Brandon Draper. Again, thank you to the lovely Mason Andrew Kilpatrick. And I will always say your name correctly from now on, I promise. And Madison May Parker, thank you so very much. I want to invite you to stay tuned next for the lovely Jazzy Jeff Harshberger, who's got Jazz Afternoon 1 to 3 from 3 to 6. Groovy Grant, Old G's Hangout. Next week, we're going to have more guests. I just didn't write it down. Thank you so much for tuning in, and honey, I'm coming home.